Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop, and this week we have a fabulous guest. Lori Allen is joining us. Say hello, Lori.
Hi. Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. This is going to be great. We're going to talk about all sorts of cool stuff and her dogs and whatever else we can come up with. And you got cool stuff too, George, right?
Of course. Lots of tech gadgetry. And I know more about Lori's studio than Lori does, so that'll be fun.
All right. All this stuff coming up right now on VoiceOver Body Shop.
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your VoiceOver audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittam, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the VoiceOver home studio master, a professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, bringing you talks with the biggest names in the voiceover world today, letting you ask your questions, and giving you the latest information to make the most of your voiceover business. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt. VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training. JMC Demos, when quality matters. And VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to drive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California. Here are the guys.
Greetings. I am Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS. Is that our new theme music for coming in or whatever?
That would be hitting the wrong button.
Oh,
I hope you
go for the right button.
And what made it even more fun is I couldn't hear it that I hit the wrong button. So I couldn't even do anything about it. But I hope you enjoyed that.
Well, okay. All right. Whatever.
It's
live broadcasting.
Yes. That's yeah, exactly. Okay. Can we take that again? No, I'm just
kidding. All right. Anyhow. Well, we're all fully vaccinated, so we're getting ready to go back out into the world and do field work, which George and I have horrendously missed.
Because I had the weirdest field work ever today.
I
had the field work come to me.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Had Eliza Jane Snyder pull up in a Sprinter van into my front curb. I'm like, wow, if all studios were mobile, that would be so cool. It, just come to me.
I don't come
have to
me.
Go to your place.
Exactly.
No, it is very nice to be able to be able to co-mingle and do it safely. And it's I'm doing the mask awareness thing. That's the new thing. You wear it on one wrist. You just keep your mask here. It says I'm woke, or whatever you want to call it. People hate that term. And I'm aware, and I have my mask, but I am vaccinated. But if you needed me to put on my mask, it's right here. So all you have to do is put it on your wrist.
Yeah. I've been wearing mine as a yarmulke, just sort of putting it back.
Should have been some 2-for-1s, yarmulke
right.
masks. Did anybody figure that one out?
No. But anyway.
I thought you guys had a sense of humor. Come on.
We try.
Not right now.
Anyway, we have got a great show tonight because we have a fabulous guest she's our favorite guest because we like her when she comes into our studio, which of course we can't do quite yet.
Big energy and big hugs.
Big hugs, which is the thing I think I miss the most out of this pandemic is getting hugs.
For sure.
And because she gives good hugs, but she's also a fabulous talent. Lori Allen has played a long-running role as Pearl Krabs in the animated television series SpongeBob SquarePants. She also voiced Diane Simmons on The Family Guy, the Invisible Woman on Fantastic Four, the boss in Metal Gear video game series, and a whole lot more. Welcome back, to voice over Body Shop, the one and only Lori Allen.
Yay!
Yay! And there
Thank
she
you
is.
For having me and my new rescue Finn who needs a bath. Luckily, Finn. You can't smell him. Hi, guys!
Wow. Hi. It looks like he's part corgi, part chihuahua. What is he?
He's part loud, like his mom, pearl crabs. They think he's like a schipperke. We had a first training session.
A schipperke. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, schipperke. I'm not saying it right. Part schipperke and chihuahua. Ooh, and his breath. He's very cute. And he's very sweet, and he licks your tears when I was crying, except he barks so loud that it makes it goes up my spine like, ah! I have to sing. I have to do something to counteract the shrillness of the barking.
But does it help you forget about what you're crying about at least? I mean, there's got to be some fringe benefit to that.
Yeah, there are. I mean, he really is a key. He likes to get rowdy. My other dog, Bumble, which George knows very well from coming over.
Cuddly Bumble.
Fixing stuff. Bumble is so cuddly, and Finn is teaching him how to be a little bit of a dog instead of just a foofy little figure.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Bringing in another dog when you already have a dog is always an interesting experience because you get to see who the alpha dog is. We brought a pound pup in, and suddenly, you know, it's like she has to wait until Ari eats.
Oh, yeah.
And then Ari's like, I'm not hungry. And she'll just sit there and, you gotta eat. What's
I
going
gotta
on?
Eat. Yeah, he's a little bossy boots, but he's not food protective. He's not emotionally eating like I've been doing for a year. So he's staying very thin, unlike myself. You know, I think we all have our coping mechanisms.
You're
during
doing
this
just
time,
fine.
Right?
You're doing just fine. Don't be so hard on yourself.
Yeah. Fortunately, food is one of those really good things to cope with. Anyway, So you're a busy lady, I know that, but how did the pandemic affect you and your career?
You know, it's really interesting. Everything just, of course, came to a screeching halt. Like, it was just, we were all in so much fear. I mean, it's so interesting how the PTSD of all of our lives, personal, forget professional, right, for a moment. But that was certainly just sort of shocking. The whole, you know, your whole life just sort of goes, what? And changes. And I really feel like everything just shut down. And then all of a sudden it exploded, absolutely exploded. Because as a coach, like I was like, let's work on your COVID read, right? Because commercials, as everybody knows, are changing. We're changing like every week. With the read of like, now it's really serious. We had a surge. Now it's warm and friendly because it's the summer and everybody, you can be outside safely doing a barbecue or whatever, right? So everything was literally, it still is, changing one week at a time. And you look at commercials and you're like, why are they in masks? Oh, that's right, because that's what's actually going on in our real life. And then a lot of animated series, so a lot of the auditions that I've been doing and a handful of bookings have been really cool new shows about hope and about acceptance. And, you know, with all of what's been going on in the world, you know, between civil unrest and you know, who being out of office. So things are just about positivity and, you know, giving hope, inspiring hope. The read is very different. So I've been working on that with myself big time and then with clients, of course, and it's very interesting. So it's actually busier than ever after like sort of just a, you know, paralyzation of like, what the hell is going on? Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. There's a lot of, we're going to do it together.
I mean,
That seemed to be the dominant theme for a while there.
Together, and now it's like apart.
Okay. Yes. And now we can be together.
And now, yes, of course the CDC, I was like, at least you could buy me dinner first. You know what I mean? Like, could you have gotten some of that clear? So now we're freaks, like, and we're back. And it was like, wait a second. I was, you know, it's on the toilet. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to give us a little bit of notice before, like, and we're all back doing the honor system. Got invited to a cool concert. And I was like, I don't know if I'm ready yet. Like, I'm not sure I'm ready yet. Like, I'm not sure I'm willing to still have that slight chance like Bill Maher, who's completely fine. The only reason I bet you $1 million he would have ever known is that he was testing for his show. You know, but the transmission rate, the viral load, the shedding and all that stuff, I think is so unlikely that we're probably ready. But it just was a little shocking, you know. But the reads, they really are, they're, everything is together, everything is warm, and everything is very real. Real, except for stuff like McDonald's, you know, in terms of commercial, like McDonald's, like that stuff is always very bright. And there's certain things that are always gonna be
McDonald's wants you to forget there's a pandemic.
That's right. They just want to raise your cholesterol. But, Yeah. So I think that the reeds are definitely brighter. Not brighter. Some things will always, like I said, be bright, but a warmer, and they're all about like getting away. So, you know, car sales, like redoing your house, right? Like stuff like that is definitely what I'm seeing.
Do you ever ask the director, like, is this commercial acknowledging the existence of the pandemic, or is it denying it and wanting you to just feel really good right now? Do you ever ask, does that question ever come up? Like, do you have to ask that question?
You know what? It's people really, it's become such a political issue. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't dare get into that conversation with anyone that's in a position to hire me. We have discussions about it. Once you sort of put a feeler out and you're like, so I like what you were talking about. I'm wearing my mask as a bracelet. You know, it's a really like a personal choice. It's become something that's not based in science, unfortunately, for a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to offend anyone in that regard. I've just lost a lot of people. My mom and stepdad who are, you know, folks that order in only and even stop doing social distance golf. My stepdad, they got it terribly. I mean, thank God, as a lung cancer survivor and now a COVID survivor. She's like back there. Well, we had cocktails with so-and-so. Like, they're doing great. You know what I mean? But it's...
She's tough as nails, Alina.
Yeah, she sure is. And I think you know her. So it's just, it's like, you just want to say, I want to say to some people, like, have you lost anybody? Have all of your best friends in New York gotten it? Have you lost your aunt? Have you lost, did you almost lose your parents? Like, I just want to shake somebody. My niece got it. Like, thank God she's fine. You know, again, from she's got a little pod of people and from a really cool music school, they're all living together. And one girl got it from work. She doesn't know how. She was masked and careful. You know what I mean? So I vote for still being wildly careful because this isn't going to go away. We're going to get probably another little mini surge or two. Well, and then our voiceover reads and stuff will be different. Have not gone back into a studio yet myself personally. Worked from home.
You're a voice actor. Like, if you got sick enough, this could ruin not only your health, but it could affect your career.
Voice, yeah.
Exactly. And because I do on camera, I've worked on camera 3 times. I can say it. I'm not supposed to say it, but I worked on Curb Your Enthusiasm. So that was really exciting. Ooh. I couldn't curb my enthusiasm. It was amazing. I rarely get starstruck, but I was like, it was just too cool. But I thought, holy crap, if I tested positive, just shut that production down. I don't want that reputation. You know, I heard a casting director, and I really believe it goes the same for once we are back in the studio, if you end up still having to get tested or not. I do not want that slight chance of knowing that I could have unknowingly given it to somebody. I mean, the chances are so slim. I was reading some statistics today, but then Bill Maher fits into that tiny statistic. You know, if he hadn't been tested, he would have never known. And then somebody asymptomatic, I mean, somebody who had immune compromised issues or who decided not to get vaccinated could have easily gotten it and then spread it to somebody else. So we just still have to be really, really, really careful, especially as the summer goes on and people are, you know, wanting to party and all that stuff outside. Luckily, you know, we're doing okay. But the winter months, we still have to be absolutely vigilant. And for the rest of our lives, like, this isn't going away. But as Scott Parkin brought up a good point, he's like, it'll just be more like the common cold or a sore throat. So hopefully, and what we're finding out is that the vaccines are much better than we thought at the transmission situation. So that's actually great news.
Not even just about being the one who spread it, but it's also, if you did get sick, it you may not be able to work for a week, 2 weeks, a month.
Oh my gosh.
Hungry Boy in the chat says a coughing fit could alter your voice permanently.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. It makes my voice so tired, and we have fires and fire season coming up. So it's like, I have no problems being like, I'm not comfortable with that yet. Or, I talk for a living, so I just need to be extra careful. I think when people get into like having to apologize for the choices you're making, I'm just not comfortable yet, but thank you so much for the invite. You know, things like that. Right. It's perfectly okay to be like, I have my thumb up my butt and that's why I'm not able to make it. It doesn't matter. You're just not comfortable yet. That's okay.
That's right.
You know what
I mean? Makes sense. That's right. If you're just joining us, we are talking with Lori Allen, star of all sorts of stuff. You're probably familiar with all the work that she's done. If you have a question for her, if you personally have a question for her, I mean, not too personal, but you can throw it in the chat room on Facebook. You can throw it in the chat room in YouTube. You can throw it, if you happen to be listening live on Clubhouse, we can get you on. You can personally ask your question as Danny Burnside is hosting our Clubhouse broadcast at the moment as well. So we'll be getting to that in a little bit, but put it in the chat rooms and we will get those questions on. Let me ask you this. You've done so many interesting things. You've had a fabulous career, and I admit you're having a fabulous career. Let's put it that way.
Thanks.
Yeah. You know, because you're going to continue doing these things. But what's been the favorite project you've worked on?
I have to say, it's not just because it's still happening, but Pearl Crabs on SpongeBob SquarePants is just absolutely the most joyful gig I've ever had. I mean, I can't even believe that I booked Family Guy and SpongeBob in the same year. I don't even know if I could have appreciated it. Plus, I was in a state of shock. Family Guy was absolutely amazing. I mean, I haven't been on the show my character got killed off probably 10 or 12 years at this point. But SpongeBob SquarePants and the way that the show just keeps like reinventing itself. And now we have Camp Coral, which is so fun because I get to be a baby because it's about us when we were little. So I get to be like, So that's really fun. And then there's the Patrick Starr show. So there's two little spinoffs. So that has just been joyful. Forget the immense gratitude to our amazing creator who passed away several years ago, Steven Hillenburg. But the joy that is, you know, and of course Tom Kenny's been directing, who plays SpongeBob. He's an amazing director, and he's just phenomenal. So he's directing all three. So it's really cool to be with those people. I miss being in the studio so hard because like you'll just laugh and ruin an entire take. Like I'll have to leave the room and I have my asthma inhaler because I don't get asthma attacks from anything other than crying and laughing. And I miss that so much, but I really think that's my most joyful favorite gig of all time.
How much of the crew is common from show to show? I mean, not on the technical
very common
back end, but all the way through mostly.
Yeah, in fact, I know there are different illustrators, the drawers, the people that do the drawing on, because it's very different. It's like CG and all that stuff. So there is a change of hands. But in terms of the executive side, it's the same, which is really interesting because they're all so wildly different. But yeah, a lot of the folks are the same. And a lot of the heads up at Nickelodeon are different, but the same vibe and that same just sweet, innocent character and all the craziness that ensues is the same. So, but so different. I mean, artistically to look at it, it's kind of magnificent. The other thing to be a part of that, that was so ridiculously just to be a part of the Pixar family, to do like Toy Story 3 and 4, like that still is like pinch me. Just the premiere alone. Again, I don't get starstruck very easily, but I was like, hi, Keanu Reeves. You're really cute. Yeah. But so that's just ridiculous. And then I started off my career with like Fantastic Four, you know, and meeting Stan Lee. I look back at it and I feel 1,000 years old and like I'm 20 years old all at the same time, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you've been doing, I mean, SpongeBob started, what, 1998, was it? Somewhere around
99.
99? Yeah.
Yeah. I
mean, my kids grew up with it. So, you know, it's like,
I know we're on our fourth generation, you know, like I'll get those cameo shout outs or when we could be in person. Cause I really miss being in person. It's so hard to be able to go to conventions and say hi to people. Yeah. And they're like my grandkids, we all watch it together and stuff like that. You know, the crazy thing is, and also Metal Gear Solid, that game to play that character, the boss is just, it's, look at, I have her on my desk. Somebody sent
her. Yeah, she's on my desk because
I needed her to be a badass.
Yeah. Wow.
She's amazing.
Jeez.
Wow.
She's amazing. So she is the mother of all mothers. A couple of people tweeted to me, no, Finn, you cannot have this. It's not a toy. But a couple of folks tweeted at me on Mother's Day and they're like, happy Mother's Day. And I just was sort of joking her back. I am your mother. And people were like, oh my God. You know, she is a badass character. I wish she could be president. That's what I wish. I wish she could be a real person.
The thing about games, like we don't, I mean, if you're not a gamer, you don't know how big the games are, but the games can have a bigger fan base than the shows.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's fun watching people on your show, like yourself, our show, who, when you see the comments, like who's coming on, they say, oh, it's the boss. You know, they know you for different reasons. So they get really excited for different reasons. It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we're talking with Lori Allen. Once again, if you got a question, throw it in all those places I mentioned, wherever it is you're watching. Here's the thing that I really wanted to get into with you. Now, you were professionally trained to do what you do. You've been acting your entire life. You know,
I'm lucky. I'm so grateful. I come from a good stock and a lot of encouragement. George, no drinking on the job. I'm kidding. It looks like you are having a nice coffee. That looks delicious. My parents are voiceover actor people, advertising people, musicians, singers. So again, I always say that, like, if I had come home and said, Mom, Dad, I want to be a lawyer or doctor, they would have been like, that's insane. You need tap dancing and juggling as a backup. But yes. So I remember singing around the piano. My grandmother, may she rest in peace, was so, she was like, you better have good breath control. You know, so I knew there wasn't even another option. Like, I just knew from, I think, doing Three Blind Mice, as the lady that would boss people around in that Three Blind Mice in like fourth grade, that's what I was going to do. So, I can't underscore the importance of training. Like, everyone now is like, hey, you just have to have a cool voice. And yeah, some of the spots bother me because it sounds like a young person just woke up and needs a Sudafed and has never had any training. So yes, that vibe is that is still sort of trending. That's what I hear on the air. But you have to still be able to be directable. You have to understand to make different choices. You have to know who you're talking to and why, even if it's just like, you know, a mascara commercial or for Toyota, like a Prius. You're going to book the jobs because you have some acting background, some improv background. So that when they say, like, what's your point of view? Like, I just signed with the great new commercial agent. She was like, tell me your interests. Like, what cell carrier do you have? What car do you drive? Like, you have to be able to relate to what you're talking about. It's not just, you know, voiceovers. It's voice acting. You have to be a good voice actor. And I think so many people forget that. And a lot of times, and also the reason to train is we're at home. We are at home. And so you have to be like, oh my God, you know, I have 5 minutes to do this audition. I forgot, or I don't want to do this audition, or I don't relate to it. It's poorly written. It's overly written. Right. So your acting skills have to come in. Like, there was a guy I was coaching, and it was for some like cool Dyson vacuum. And it sounded very much like a Tesla commercial, like just very cool and ergonomic this, and, you know, just sounded kind of new agey and awesome. And I said, pretend it's a Tesla. And then his read was amazing. Right. So it's like, how can we find a hook? How can we find our way in to hook into that spot to where it's meaningful to you in some way? Again, there's going to be copy that you don't like, and the spec is going to go on for a half a page, and you're like, what? Just tell me what you want here. So I think that's the reason why training is just of utmost importance.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like you were saying, there's so many people who are getting into the business, and they, like you're saying, it's like, well, I just read. Well, it's not that at all. And the reason you're successful is because a lifelong learning of your craft. And people forget that it's a craft, that it is professional acting, and they need to know, you know, what it takes to succeed in it. I mean, what do you think it really takes to succeed? I mean, if somebody wants to get into it, I would imagine first you have to really want it, for starters.
You have to want it more than anything else. And you have to also have a ridiculous amount of patience, and your expectations have to, I'm just going to be really frank, right? Your expectations have to be wildly low at the same time that you're like, this is my thing. And not that you can't, man, I'm a big woo-woo hippie dippy person on law of attraction and manifesting things and making sure you stay positive. But, you know, out of every 400 things, you may get a callback. I mean, it's just practice makes perfect. And the at-bats are just an opportunity. I feel like, you know, if you can look at voiceover as my job is to stay in good vocal shape, mental, spiritually good shape, so that, you know, we get hired and fired every day. I think people think that we're just on series and we don't have to audition anymore. I had to go do a couple things before we did our setup here to check, make sure we were all connected and I was using the correct, you know, AirPods and all that stuff, which I should know. And I'm not tech savvy at all, which is embarrassing. But, I think that, you know, tenacity and really believing in yourself, and for non-union folks, like, I really am still such a strong union supporter. I can't stress it enough. Cutting your teeth on the non-union sites is really important. And you learn some ball busting marketing techniques, but it's also being able to say to your agents, like, you know, can you listen to the read? Like, I asked my agents this was like maybe last year. And I asked Trish at DPN, who I adore. And she said, you know, it's really knowing your voice too. And she said, you know what? You've got a warm, deeper voice. And so you don't need to add on. Let's just say it was for like something healthcare related. She's like, you don't need to add on any more warmth. Your voice sounds like that anyway, right? So I have a good friend of mine, Austin, who's just, she's a cool millennial. She's got a cool, scratchy voice. And she always sounds mad. And the irony is that she's the happiest person, right? So I said, you just always have to keep a smile in your cheekbones, just in the apple of your cheeks. So it's really important to also know your voice and be able to express to your agent, hey, do you have any feedback for me? It's been a minute. And she was like, I'm so glad you asked. Actually, it sounds a little too precious. So don't add any other yummy on. So you really have to know your voice and you have to ask for feedback, but don't bug your agents all at the same time. You know what I mean? So I think that's a big part of it.
A bit of a balance there.
Yeah. And as your voice and knowing where your voice is, like, I don't have super strong vocal cords. Like, I'm not a great screamer. So I have to warm up every day. I warm up before and afterwards. And if I forget, I'm like, oh, crap. So it's really knowing your voice and the limitations. And as we get older, our voices change, you know? So I'm a big person about vocal hygiene. I can't stress enough. Where do I have it? It's on my desk and Finn will not leave my site. But the singing straw, if you go on Instagram or Facebook, these straws help you phonate properly. Finn, do you want to show the example?
And we all need to phonate as well as we can.
That's exactly right. That's what she said. But just going like, and I'm like rusty today. So it's a matter of like just doing some simple glides and the singing straw. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
What's special about it? It just looks like a normal stainless steel drinking straw.
It's a very fine.
It's an even smaller hole. It's a very small.
And okay. So basically you're phonating and just. You're just literally phonating and the vocal cords come together in a healthy way. So it's great to do after a job. It's great to wake up and do that for singer speaker, for any professional speaker, because you know how tired you get. I mean, like at conventions or talking over somebody at a bar, which I'm sure I'll be ready to do maybe next year. That's what does it for me. That's what fatigues my voice. Right. So I think it's, if you look it up, you know, phonating through a straw has been around for forever and it helps your voice recover quicker. It helps relax your cords. It helps them be more efficient. And so it's learning like what works. Like for me, like I can't have more than one cup of coffee before a session. There's no way. It dries me out so much. Right. So I have all the fun things like Entertainer's Secret. I know not to have a lot of Ricola or Hall's Cough Drop or Tic Tacs or gum. All that stuff dries my vocal cords out. So I think vocal hygiene is really, really important because, and I think really having your craft down in a way and also staying in community, like forming and getting into workout groups because we're
alone.
No, we're at home alone. So you have to be able to like be your own director and be your biggest cheerleader and step out of the booth, take breaks. Like I'm not good at taking breaks. So did I take a break today? I took like a 3-minute break and I think it's so powerful to take a break and just go outside, do 10 deep breaths, come back inside. You have to take a break because right now I think we're all, our nerves are still a little raw. And I know for me, I'm like, I'm going to push through, but then I'm not effective in my own auditions. I'm not paying attention to what I'm saying. I'm not acting. I'm not thinking about anything except like, I need to get this done because my brain tells me that during this crazy time, if I can control something, I'll feel good. I'll feel safe. I'll feel better. It's not true. You got to take your time with your stuff. And also the importance of staying in class and staying sharp is that you trust your instincts to where you're like, hold on, let me listen. Yep. Take two. The lady that I produce demos with and work with a lot, Susan Palio at Voice Tracks West, she always says, send take two. You know, if you're in the booth and you've gone past take four, you're done. You're done. Send take two and be done. Unless it's just some industrial thing and you're like, oh my God, I cannot get my mouth around this technical jargon or some medical, you know, something like that that's hard to say or pronounce. Other than that, sometimes my best work is under pressure because I automatically do what I know to do as a voice actor, scan the copy for what's it about. You know, with commercials, it's going to be a new feature, a new ingredient. For promos, it's going to be a new time or just telling us it's a new, this guest is on. You know, in animation, the stakes are high because I want to banish the queen. Or I want to banish the princess from the kingdom. So there's always like, what is the copy about? Whether it's promo, commercial, animation, an e-learning thing, a book, an explainer video. And then who am I talking to and why? Can I make it very relatable? Sometimes I'll put my hand up right here to keep it intimate. So I'm like, the new Toyota Prius, not the new Toyota Prius. That's talking to like no one. Right. So, that's really helped a lot with like a sort of self-direction vibe of being at home and really just knowing that like I'm bringing an imaginary someone into the booth with me. In fact, George, since we both love animals and we're veg vegan people, I had to do something about the great white shark and catching them. And I was like, George, you're never going to get this. You won't even believe it. So talking myself in, right? I learned that from the wonderful Mary Lynn Wissner and I graciously plagiarized her for all intents and purposes. And then I will edit that out. And I have to listen back to make sure I wasn't like, George, guess what? For some like show, you know. but I always try to talk myself in. And then that really helps keep me focusing on one person that I'm talking
explain
to.
That
to
right. Explain that talking. You just demonstrated, but explain the jargon right. of it, the talking yourself in.
Yeah.
So let's say it's especially for commercials. Well, for both commercials and animation, I find. So talking yourself in, let's say the new Toyota Prius, anything in commercial retail, like how do I make that normal sounding with introducing the all new for a limited time only, only at McDonald's. Those things are so commercial retail-y, right? Yeah. So if I can get a point of view, if I can be like, oh my gosh, you know, I've always had a Prius. So it's at least the one thing I can do. You know what? I want that new color. Oh, and it has a four-wheel drive and I want the sunroof back. The new Toyota Prius. Then I'm already having a point of view about the product, place, or thing that I'm talking about or to. In animation, if my first line is like, I said, get out. Over my dead body, will you reach my daughter? Try crossing this moat. I can't do that without sort of going, oh, really? Well, I slept with your father, the king, and there's no way you're going to get to my daughter because I've just braided her hair and tied it to the bedpost. Over my dead body, will you make it a... You have to have something. That's off. That's awful what I just said. But have said something.
But it's never
going to
be heard on the actual... No, I, right. And right. That's the other thing. You always cut it out or do you sometimes
oh,
leave
always.
It in? Always. Cut it out?
Okay. But with animation, I definitely leave some improv. We want to hear a vocalization. We want to have that first line. If the first line is... you know, Prince Lancelot, over my dead body, will you get to my daughter? It can't start that way. It has to be like, ah, mm-hmm. She has to see him, have a feeling, have a vocalization, because we don't just do that. We go, oh, yeah. Over my dead body. There has to be life happening, especially because A, that's what real people do, but in imaginary circumstances. And B, you're not trying to be funny or add on a bunch of shtick or improv if it's not called for. But when the casting director executives are hitting play, that has to be like, whoa, that's wow. I'm in it. I'm in the scene right now, right. Especially for animation. And with this promo thing that I just did about like the great sharks, it had to, that's why it had to be like very now. It was like very now, urgent. Thank God they wanted a nice, you know, older, lower sounding voice that was intense and dramatic. But I had to make sure it wasn't just like the white shark is it. So I was like, George, you're never going to believe this. The white shark has it. So it was inviting from the get-go.
Oh, wow.
I cannot stress talking yourself in and editing it out. And there's like your director. You can be your own director and you can be your own scene partner so that the microphone can just simply capture your acting. You don't have to do anything extra. You don't have to do anything else, especially because this real read is not going away anytime soon, right. You know?
Yeah. We're talking with Laurie Allen here on VoiceOver Body Shop. If you got a question, again, throw it in the chat room. If you're on Clubhouse, throw it in there. And we're going to take a quick break so she can feed her dog. And we can sell some stuff and keep the show going. So stay tuned. We'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop.
I think I heard the voice of a body shop. I did hear the voice of a body shop. Bean old body shop.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
Stick around. You don't want to miss this. Power 1039.
At Target, we want you to come as you are. Be comfortable. Okay, maybe not bathrobe comfortable.
Pants for the customer in aisle four, please.
Nuevo México necesita un cambio. La representante Michelle Lujan Grisham ha luchado por nuestro estado en la Cámara de Representantes.
Watch anywhere, anytime, on an unlimited number of devices. Sign in with your Netflix account to watch instantly at Netflix.com.
The ice cream maker is a big risk that can have huge rewards. Until you forget to turn it on.
Well, that's it, guys. Time is up.
Hey, it's JMC. Thanks for watching the VoiceOver Body Shop. If you're demo ready or looking to get there, check out jmcdemos.com and see a sample of our work. Now let's get back to Dan and George and this week's Tech Wisdom.
We've been sequestered for over a year, forced to watch undubbed Turkish soap operas.
Nereden geldiğimi bilmiyorum. Ya da nereye gittiğimi.
And face it, we're all zoomed out. But now it's time to get back on the road again.
And if you have to record your voiceover tracks on the road, there's no better way than to use a Harlan Hogan Portabooth Plus.
With one zipper assembly in seconds and lined in Oralex Studio Foam, the Portabooth Plus is your answer to professional recordings on the road. And because summer travel and remote recording are finally back, here's VoiceOver Essentials gift to you. Buy a Portabooth Plus and the first 50 buyers will get their fabulous Portabooth Plus travel bag absolutely free. There is, however, a limit of 4 booths with the free travel bag per customer. So go on over to voiceoveressentials.com and just click on the Portabooth Plus carry-on travel bag buy now button. No promo code needed.
Hey there, hero. It's David H. Lawrence, the 17th, and for the last 8 years, wow, Dan O'Day and I have been teaching the ACX Masterclass. Our students are responsible for over 4,000 books that are available on audible.com via ACX. And if you know that you want to be an audiobook narrator, if you know you want to add that to your voiceover quiver, we'd love to have you in the course. This course is amazing. And Dan came up with an idea that made me question what he had done with the real Dan O'Day. He said, hey, look, for this week, let's offer a two-payment plan at the lowest price anyone will pay for the course. They make one payment now and another payment just before class starts, and they're in. And I'm like, great, let's do this before you change your mind. So go to acxmasterclass.com/2PMT. That's the link you see below. If you know you want to build a successful audiobook narration career, we would love to have you. acxmasterclass.com/2PMT. And we will see you in the ACX Masterclass Home Study Edition this June.
This is the Latin lover narrator from Jane the Virgin, Anthony Mendez, and you're enjoying Dan and George on The VoiceOver Body Shop.
I like tight, that we're enjoying.
Tight,
them.
Tight. That's the way this
that
show is going.
Great, you guys.
We're enjoying.
Yes. I get to do like name that VO talent. I got a lot. I got a lot right. That's good.
Well, it helps when the name is actually on there. But
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. That helps.
We're talking with Lori Allen. We got a bunch of questions from our vast worldwide audience. First, who is the vocal coach we were talking about?
Oh, Amy Chapman, I think, is the one.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Yes, Amy Chapman. I was going to try to bring it up on my phone. Amy Chapman is awesome. So I saw her when I had some vocal trouble. And she's phenomenal because she talks a lot about laryngeal massage. And I can even show people it looks kind of kinky and weird or that it's not actually going to do anything. But when you've had a stressful session, even if it's just audiobooks and you've been talking for forever or animation where you've done a character where it's like up like this or pearl, something like that, that area has to be relaxed. So it's like you can pull your larynx down and actually look up at the ceiling and lick the ceiling. Again, it looks very strange and inappropriate, but and it, you come back down and you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and your voice feels very different. And actually just rubbing in here and rubbing the muscles and really just even just during a session, when you go outside to take your break, just relaxing that neck area because this can't help but get involved a bit. So I really love Amy Chapman, and that's where I learned about the singing straw. And you can find out her information there. She's on Instagram and Facebook, but she helped me get my voice back and she works with a lot of people. It really helps extend your range. So if you got a low voice like me, all of a sudden with speaking and singing, I was like, I'm not a high soprano, but I have a much better range now. And my voice is more efficient and healthier. And she talks a lot about like, listen, if you've had COVID and or you have allergies or, you know, just go back into singing and speaking gently and easily and don't be hard on yourself. And she answers a lot of questions like, is it okay to do CBD? You know, is it okay? What does stress do to your voice? What does certain food do to your voice? Are you actually hydrating too much or not enough? So she's a plethora of resources and it's Voice Lab LA. Wow. So I love Amy and she's wonderful. And then I'm having a total brain fart, but I'm going to look it up to find the gal who does the singing straw because right. That's been a huge game changer as
well. Yeah, I found the website. It's just literally singingstraw.com.
Yeah, and I'm having a brain fart at her name, which is horrible.
It's Mindy Pack.
Whitney Nicole.
Mindy Pack?
Or... No, I think it's Whitney Nicole.
Whitney Nicole, okay.
Mm-hmm. And she'll right. just send out just great things. And she also talks about sort of how to rehab your voice with the singing straw and has great examples. So what's nice is that they're actually both just very generous with their time and their TikTok videos and you know, all the stuff that and I know a lot of VO talent that goes to see Amy. And now that she can see people safely, I mean, you lay down on the table and get this whole area worked out. So when I had a vocal episode several, like 3 or 4 years ago, it took like 2 sessions with her and I was fine. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. So much better than any vocal rest, because vocal rest is just not possible.
Yeah.
Like that actually is not good for your voice. If you've had surgery, I had surgery in high school. You got to be quiet. You got to be on vocal rest and you have to watch your voice. Like I love hearing, I think Kelly Clarkson and John Legend were talking on The Voice about how they both really do vocal rest. So there's a time where you should absolutely rest your voice, and steam is your best friend. And, steam and making sure that you're not having stuff that's going to dry your cords out, and using that singing straw is a big, huge game changer.
All right. We got questions here. George, okay. Want to tackle Mr. Hungry Boy's question?
I want to tackle mine first.
Oh, okay.
And mine was about what it was like recording, or what is it like, if it's still going, recording SpongeBob Camp Coral from home. What is that like? Are you doing it ensemble? Are there others on the session with you? How are they doing it, et cetera?
Yeah, great question. So thanks to my new booth setup from you, because Nickelodeon requested a better sound, which was great. So thank you for that always. And so don't jump out of my lap, Finn, because you're going to go bark at something. So Nickelodeon sent me a nice setup, and I don't think I'll have to give it back. So thank you, Nickelodeon. And what we do is, what's so great is the we actually are using an Apogee mic, which you wouldn't think that they'd be using, but that way everybody sounds the same.
It's the Hype mic. And it's the newest one that they came out with. And there's a specific reason they picked it. I'll tell you why in a second.
Oh, tell me.
Keep going.
Okay. So basically what we do is we get a link. We get a link the night before to look, or a couple days before, to look at the storyboards and your voice script. And I always read the voice script first, not because I'm lazy, but because I just want to get a gist of it. And then it still is so fun. There's nothing more fun than looking through. It's probably about 200 pages, but you get to, now it's easier to scroll. But I still have the good old hard copies of these big sheets that they messenger to you the night before. But anyway, you click on the link, and then somebody does like what you do, George, for clients. They'll take over TeamViewer and launch GarageBand, make sure I have to switch from my Sennheiser to the Hype mic. And then you're on a Zoom, and most likely they will upload everything. They kind of do it for you, which is great. Yeah. But I make sure that I've switched everything over from one interface to the other, and all the preferences and whatnot. And I have to move the mic, and I have to adjust me and the mic and myself. And then you got to kind of jiggle things around. I don't have the space for a big screen. So I make sure that I move it around. And then half the time I have to turn the Zoom off, what do you call it? The visual. Thank you. Camera.
Yeah.
Because it takes up a lot of energy. And then the computer, inevitably, I don't care what computer is, it just gets hot.
Yeah.
And the engineers, I can just see them moving it up and down. It's like having a phantom, you know, but it's great. And then you upload it and it takes a while and then you're done. So it's really cool. And no, we don't get to be there together, which really sucks. But Tom has energy for 17 people. So there's usually the executives on the phone and the engineers and Tom and the writer of the episode.
So it's not done ensemble live. You're recorded independently of each other.
Correct. Yeah. And then we get to clap together in Slate. So that's always fun. Yeah.
So the reason why that Hype mic is, this is one of the few microphones that sounds really good, is simple to hook up, and is also remote controllable. So what Lori was saying was they can control the mic gain from their studio, and that makes it very easy for them, because they no longer have to worry about you worrying about the gain. They can do it. And so,
yeah. And I think it's a good mic in terms of travel setup too, because it's really, if I can figure it out, as George can attest to for over 10 years of friendship and working together, if I can figure it out, anybody can figure it out. So I was like, what? And then you're right. I was listening to the sound. Sounds great. Sounds absolutely fine. Sounds great.
Yeah. We got any questions from Clubhouse there, George?
I believe we got one lined up.
What's up, guys?
We do. Chris Rossetti from San Francisco. Chris.
Hello, everybody. Great show. Great information. I feel like I owe somebody some money.
Cha-ching.
We have a donate now button, so.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Oh, really, really good. I just had to attend to our kitty cat. She's about 17 years old, and she had some issues. But I'm listening to you, and I have a couple questions for you.
Yes.
One question, actually. With your diet being vegan, do you have a recommendation for people who are not? In other words, are there certain foods you can tell everybody, look, give this up if you're a voice actor? And I'll go to the audience to hear your answer. I have a strange impulse to buy a new Toyota Prius. Thank you.
Good. Absolutely. You got to ditch dairy because it's just, first of all, it's another species milk and we're not meant to do with it. So that's why everyone's like, I don't digest that very well. And I get phlegmy, and that's the body's natural response to deal with inflammation in your body, not just your vocal cords. And, so no one can digest it. So that's why there's all these, lactate or whatever that's called, all the sort of faux milk. You may as well drink something like oat milk or almond milk or soy milk or something like that. Hazelnut milk, first of all, it's got the same amount of protein, if not more, and it's much better for you. And it doesn't produce that sort of inflammatory reactive, that thing where I've got to get it out of my body because it shouldn't be in there anyway. And the other thing, so that goes for any dairy related things. And to just promote veganism for a minute, I did something for Mercy for Animals the other day. It's their 22nd anniversary. It's like, make the connection, right? We all love our pets, like your beautiful 17-year-old, and I hope she's going to be okay. We put that with our other animals and you go, oh, wow, I don't need to be ingesting that. And also, I've always had a gluten intolerance, like since I was little. My mom took me to a pediatrician when I was like 2.5, and the doctor was like, you got to get her off wheat because that, again, I found it doesn't really have any nutritional value and it's inflammatory and it just causes your whole, not only like joints and everything like that, but your vocal cords are a muscle, right? So you want to keep anything you can do to keep this area hydrated and irritation free. So for me, I'm so damn sensitive to like onions and eggplant and garlic and tomatoes. Like you have to know what stuff, any foods that have histamine in them, which is a lot of seafood and chocolate and wine. So you have to think, okay, if I've got a big set of auditions coming up or a session, you want to avoid all that stuff. Foods that have histamine in them, gluten, dairy, any dairy products. So that way you're not going to have any GERD reflex. And like the acid reflux, like, oh my gosh, such a nervous tummy to boot as well. You want to keep all that stuff at bay, have a healthy tummy, and healthy sinuses are really good. So saline your all your nasal stuff and gargle with some salt water. And then you're really sort of getting everything clean and clear to be able to have a nice sound, good, clear sound.
Yeah. George, Hungry Boy's question. He's been waiting patiently.
Oh yeah. This one's from the chat. He says, what is Lori's favorite? There's a U in there. So we know where he's from. What is your favorite mic to be recorded by, or just for hearing the timbre of your own voice? Do you have an opinion about what mic you like to be recorded with?
That's your job.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I'm telling. Has to say.
I love the sound of my own voice with my Sennheiser, I have to say. I know a voiceover manager that I work with. He's like, oh, we need to get you on a Neumann. And I remember talking to you, George, about that. And I think I love this. What do I have? Sennheiser 416?
Is that
what I have?
416.
So that sounds so glorious, I think, for women. It catches so much resonance without sounding like, what's the word? Not muffled, but without it sounding like too, it's just a freer muddy sound. It doesn't, huh?
Maybe muddy?
Muddy or like it almost sounds stifled to me. Like I've got too many headphones on, or it sounds like I have a second set of headphones on. It doesn't sound as, you don't get the natural rasp in your voice.
Mm. And, it sounds like you.
Yeah,
which is what we're trying to achieve.
Yeah, exactly. Especially for now, the real read, you got to find a voice that, a mic that captures that. And for me, it's always been the Sennheiser.
So when you're using the hype mic, are you plugging the cans into the hype mic to hear yourself in your own? And how does that sound to you?
It sounds different. It doesn't sound as good, but when I listen back to the playback, it sounds okay. It doesn't sound to me, it doesn't sound quite as yummy and rich. It doesn't capture all quite like, it's like catches like 9 out of 10 or 8 out of 10. Mm-hmm.
See, that's the thing. This whole thing is a feedback loop, right? Between your voice, the microphone, your headphones, and around it goes.
Yeah.
So if you're wearing headphones, it depends how loud you monitor yourself and how you work the microphone, and it all is a feedback loop.
Yeah. Work it. Let me work it. Yes. I think that the turn around baby and reverse it. Uh-huh. Had a little dance break there for myself. But yeah, that, and also your headphones, like you taught me that, George, as well. And much to my chagrin, I remember I ordered some Audio Technica headphones and I don't like them. So I was like, I got to go back to putting my old ones on and just getting new, like replacement, like, the pads there.
Pads.
It sounds like I'm like, what? I can't hear myself. What did I just say? And I have the volume turned up. For some reason, it feels like I have, I've been swimming and I have swimmer's ear. So it's interesting. You just have to play around and maybe I could sell them or, you know, something like that. Give them to a friend who needs a new set of, new set of cans.
Yeah.
Let's see. Nothing in Clubhouse.
Okay. Well, David Wandelt asks, how much auditioning do you do now? And what exercises do you go through to quickly get into the headspace for each one?
I think we covered some of that, but great question, David. So, put it back up again to get into the headspace. Well, what was the first part of that question?
Exercises do you go? Yeah, I think you covered this pretty well. Yeah. Exercises.
Yeah, I do a little warm up. The best thing you could possibly do is like find someone that your speaking range or your singing range, you don't have to be a singer or a great singer, but like Bonnie Raitt is like nice and low for me, or like Sheryl Crow or Pink, right? And I will literally just dance and sing at the same time. And then my body and my breath is moving, right? Because we're sitting down a lot more. My body and breath and voice are sort of connected now, even just one song. And you get your endorphins raised, even if it's a serious thing you're auditioning for. Do a little bit of the singing straw. Get in there, making sure you know who you're talking to and why. Have a point of view about the product, the show, the character that you're talking. In animation, you're definitely talking at any time. You're definitely, almost always, you're talking to at least two people. You're talking to or about two people. So again, it comes down to the acting. So who are you talking to? Why are you talking to them? What's your point of view? And also try to stay in a very real sort of way of speaking. And bring your dog in the booth. No, I'm just kidding. I have actually had to bring him in the booth to help him not wreck auditions.
Good idea.
That's helpful, David.
Yeah. Now, one of the other things we want to talk to you about is coaching. And J. Horace Black asks, glad to see you're healthy and well. Are you doing any one-on-one coaching? And if yes, do you approach each actor and talent the same way? How is your schedule if you are coaching?
Oh, my schedule is good. I have not. Nope. You're not a voice actor. This is my time, not your time. Good boy. Yes, I do coach. I love coaching. I find it keeps me sharp and it keeps me doing something creative and not worrying about why am I not booking? Why am I booking? Who else is booking instead of me or whatever? So I feel like it's always important to be in some kind of training, even if it's an improv class. Are you taking a writing class? Are you taking pottery, like doing something creative so that not everything depends on, did I get this job? That's not exactly what you asked, but it's just something I wanted to. Oh, all right, I'm letting him outside. Hold on. Oh my God. Get that squirrel. Get it, baby. Get out of my face.
Squirrel.
Oh my God. Goodness, sorry about that.
Dog.
So, sorry about that. So, in terms of coaching, I think it's so good to, I really like, especially for somebody who's new, is to take class. And at the same time, if, you know, as, of course, as money and time allow, to be able to take a private, it's kind of like puts you like on a fast track. And so I really like that. So for me, taking somebody who's never done voiceover, but who's willing to take an improv class, it doesn't matter what level you're at, as long as you're sort of willing, right? If you're willing to take in some new information. And I come at it from a very, I know some people come at things from a more structured, standard place about pronouns and marking your script up. I'm the exact opposite, because nobody feels and thinks or communicates the same way. So I have some very standard stuff that I talk about and teach. And I have this lady called the Booth Lady, which beautiful Matthew Thompson, a client of mine. So I have this, when The Real Read came in, I remember being in the booth at my agent's office and she was like, you know what? Just talk like how you're talking right now. And it was for like Old Navy or something. Great example of talking yourself in, instead of like, you know, now through January 3rd, the pajama bottom sale, 2-for-1, who doesn't want a pajama bottoms? Only at Old Navy. And it just sounded really silly. So I was like, okay, wait a second. So I thought to myself, okay, my sister and my cousins and I, we all do like, my good girlfriends, we all do like $20 and under. And who doesn't want pajama bottoms? So the all new pajama bottoms came out nice and smooth. And she was like, just talk like how you talk. Just give me some information. So I came home and wrote myself and be talking to someone, right? So I wrote a little stick figure because I'm a terrible artist is an understatement. And I just had little bubbles, like cartoon bubbles saying, talk to me, talk myself in, talk like how I talk. And then I just have on here different things about, you know, observe. That's the other thing. Like, are you observing the product? Like when I redid my demo, Mary Lynn was wonderful with Tim Friedlander. And I remember it was for like Lara Bar or something. And she was like, can you like look at the, just look at your phone and pretend you're reading the ingredients. You know, and I was like, I'm making this up, but whatever it is, you know, 100% whole grain oats and da-da-da-da, you know, Lara Bar for active lifestyle. I'm making up, that's not the copy, but you get the gist of it. So I approach the same, my basic curriculum, because I'm so ADD. like my curriculum is something that is not over a certain period of time. You learn X, Y, and Z. I kind of throw everybody this, and then whatever kind of sinks in, whatever works for you. And that's why I like coaching, is I'm like, what works for you? Is it observing the product? Is it making sure you have an opinion about something? Is it making sure that the person is right there? Do you need to put like a doll or your own action figure in the booth so that you're really talking to someone? You're like the new Toyota Prius. You got to get it, badass boss. You're amazing, right? So there's a bunch of different things. And in animation, like I would always say, like, I have to hear the relationship. If you're playing some young girl and you're like this valley girl, I would never get cast this age, right? But she can't just be like typical. Like maybe we work on characters from your real life that you went to school with, or what you sounded like when you were little, or, you know, kids at school or whatever, and find a way to draw from people you already know in your own life, and then have those kind of creep into your reads for animation right. specifically. I love doing that. I love doing that yeah. with people. It's so fun to come up with your list and finding different celebrities, male, female, dialects you do well or don't do well. We're not going to know if you're doing a really bad Austria like Arnold Schwarzenegger impression, but I know when I played this lesbian gym teacher, that was very funny. And I know when I did Huggle Monsters, it said she's a very dingy mom, and one of the ladies on my list was Goldie Hawn. I love Goldie Hawn. And so I really like the way she doesn't end her sentences. They just kind of hang there for no reason. And then it said she had to be very warm. So I just did my kind of best Goldie Hawn, and then I just added some warmth. And that made her sound like a kind of dingy but very lovable mom, right? So that's the kind of the way I teach, is like adding in some different emotions and really coming up with a list, a cast of characters that you already know. And then you're not thinking so much about, how do I sound? This isn't a good take. You're on the train once you know who you're talking to and why. And if you've plugged in and found a way to get in there with the script, if you don't like it or you're tired or you can't relate to it, whatever, with a character, especially for animation, then you're gonna be able to just have much more fun with it. Right. And the more fun you're having, the more we're gonna have fun listening to it, the more likely you are you're gonna get a great booking callback.
Yeah. Well, speaking of fun, this hour has been a fun ride as always, but amazingly, it has gone by. Whoosh.
No. Did we miss any questions? I'm so sorry.
No, we got them all in there. Okay. So that's the most important thing. If someone wants to contact you for coaching, and now your inbox is going to be shoved full of stuff.
Yay.
How would somebody get a hold of you?
Coachme@laurieallen.com. There we go. I can put it in the chat there. You can. Yeah. Coachme@laurieallen.com.
Excellent. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for being with us. I can't wait till we can get together personally soon. It would be great.
Well, I'm vax baby. So, you know, I'm not ready to go out into a restaurant or a big, huge party just yet. But I would love to see you guys. And I love you so much.
We love you too.
Okay. Thanks for always having your show and just keeping us all connected. I always learn something, and I'm just so grateful that you guys are my friends and having me on. I so appreciate it.
No problem. All righty. Laurie Allen, everybody. We'll be right back to wrap things up and to rack it up for Tech Talk right after this.
Yeah. Hi, this is Carlos Alas Rocky, the voice of Rocco, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
In these modern times, every business needs a website. When you need a website for your voice acting business, there's only one place to go. Like the name says, voiceactorwebsites.com. Their experience in this niche webmaster market gives them the ability to quickly and easily get you from concept to live online in a much shorter time. When you contact voiceactorwebsites.com, their team of experts and designers really get to know you and what your needs are. They work with you to highlight what you do. Then they create an easily navigable website for your potential clients to get the big picture of who you are and how your voice is the one for them. Plus, voiceactorwebsites.com has other great resources like their practice script library and other resources to help your voiceover career flourish. Don't try it yourself. Go with the pros. VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
Speaking of pain in the you-know-what, that is trying to learn how to use something you've never used before when everybody says, you got to have it. And one of those things that everybody is telling you you've got to have, as I am now, is Source Connect. Source Connect is a tool that will allow you to connect to studios around the world so they can record you from your studio in their studio. and they're going to capture your audio as it's recorded, as it's heard from your microphone. So it's really like you're on the other side of the glass, but you're on the other side of the internet. And it's an amazing technology. It's been around a long time, and it's been maturing for quite a long time. So it's highly popular, highly supported, and actually relatively affordable now because you can do a subscription. And that's the way I recommend it for most folks, because then you'll have access to their support ongoingly, which, by the way, is the best in the business, hands down. They have incredibly good on-demand support teams for supporting you and to keep your sessions running smoothly. So you really should get started. If you're not sure about getting subscribed now and getting really making any commitment, you can get a demo for 15 days and plunge headfirst into trying to get it running yourself and kind of go through the step-by-step information they provide. And if you get stuck along the way, I have some stuff on my site at georgethe.tech on Source Connect to kind of get your help you along. Anyway, that's Source Connect. Thanks for your support, Source Elements. And I'll be back to wrap up the show right after this quick little spot.
You're watching VOBS.TV. I don't know why. It's crazy what they do here. I think I'm going to go somewhere else and have a cheese sandwich.
Well, it's always a delight having her on.
You know, it is. It's always sad when we get to the end of the segment. It's like, bye. Wait, I can't say hello. I can't say goodbye later. It's over.
We'll get the chance eventually. Anyway, we've got to thank a lot of people. But first, next week on this very show, if you're hanging out with us, we're about to record it now, is Tech Talk number 57. We got a lot of cool stuff to talk about. If you've got a question, you can throw that in the chat room right now too as well, which would be great. Who are our donors this week, since somebody mentioned that earlier?
I am going to read them to you.
Okay.
Because I was looking at the wrong screen. Robert Leadham, Christy Burns, Graham Spicer. Graham, what's up? He's still giving us money. Antland Productions, that's Uncle Roy. Michelle Blanker, Sarah Borges, and Christopher Epperson. Those are all the easy names I get to read. Next week's are the harder ones. But why do I keep reading these names over and over? Why is that happening? Well, that's because they are subscribers using PayPal's subscribe function. You can make a one-time thing if you got a tip that was really important to you from that guest. Drop a little money in there, or you can subscribe like these folks and have your name read all the, you know, every week. And top of mind, you never know. Could get you a gig. Not saying anything, but it could help you, you know. Name recognition never hurts.
That's right. Speaking of Michelle Blanker, she had given me a handlebar mustache face mask like 3 years ago, and she was selling those, and I found it. Year and a half into a pandemic, then I find it.
Oh, no way.
Now it's prominently in my car whenever I have to put on a mask. Anyway, hey, join our mailing list. It's almost up to 800. We'd like to hit 1,000 before the end of the year or sooner. Also, we need to thank our sponsors, Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
Oh, we also have VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActorWebsites.com.
And JMC Demos.
We also need to thank Danny Burnside over at Clubhouse for running his show, and we're looking forward to joining him again for Tech Talk right after this. And of course, our technical director, Sue Merlino, doing it perfectly tonight, as she always does. And of course, and especially so, Lee Penny for being Lee Penny this week. we're gonna reset it for Tech Talk right now. But gotta remind you guys, your voiceover business is not easy, but when it comes to your audio, if it sounds good,
it is good.
I'm Dan Leonard, by the way.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS.